This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are with Kelvin, Ayman and Lynn, and we're talking today about English and the teaching of certain subjects in English, specifically mathematics and science, because Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad basically said, get over your nationalist pride and accept that these two subjects are going to be taught in English, more or less. This happened, of course, yesterday in Parliament during the Prime Minister's question time.
So Tun M argued that with the speed at which tech knowledge was updating, we risk being left behind because we might face difficulties in mastering knowledge or translating technical terms into Bahasa.
Yeah, and he also acknowledged that the existing division between those who want STEM to be taught in English and those who prefer Bahasa Malaysia. But he added that a nation where people are adamant to preserve their mother tongue, if they lack the knowledge, then the country will not progress.
So when we opened this up for conversation yesterday, I think it kind of got quite heated quite quickly, because of course there are a lot of people who have studied math and science in Bahasa and had no issues, right? Went on to have perfectly fine careers, continuing to work in the sciences. So then it became this question of, is it about the teachers instead?
Yeah, and we, of course, wanted to reach out to someone who is involved directly. So we spoke with NUTP Secretary General Harry Tan on the potential reintroduction of the PPSMI into schools to find out how teachers are viewing the announcement.
We are viewing it very negatively, as we have been there before. And teachers are made a political football. No, it's no longer about education, but about politics. So that's why the teachers are not happy with the current situation that the PPSMI will be revived. Should it be so?
Tun M also announced that the government is looking at methods of using information technology to deliver PPSMI classes in schools nationwide. So we asked Harry how prepared our schools currently are to implement these lessons.
Teachers are always prepared to teach in the new world of technology. We are open to changes. However, at the same time, we also appeal to our administrators or the people that have the powers to look into the allocation for in-service training, because the world of technology moves at a fast pace. So teachers must be given constant training. And at the same time, they must also look at the infrastructure that provides this for this kind of learning. For example, the laptops must be constantly renewed. Then we must have new software for the laptops or whatever the ICT stuff, you see. So it cannot be at a constant level today, this year, I give you this so much allocation, and that's it. You can work on this allocation for the next 5 years. It must be constant because the world of ICT changes constantly at a very fast pace.
And he also highlighted the existing dual language program and how it could be strengthened.
The dual language program, it is already there. So that is to cater to the parents who want to send their children to classes that teach maths and science in English. So there won't be any political issue out of it, because it's on a willing to learn and willing to attend classes basis. So we feel that the DLP is already in place. Just strengthen the DLP and I think everything else will be all right. In DLP, when I talk about strengthening, we must look from top to bottom. People running the program or people administering the program should be proficient in two languages. They must be bilingual. They must be proficient in our national language and also at the same time in the English language, because they are administrators. And then as for the supply of teachers for DLP programs, the ministry should look into the constant supply of teachers for them, because some of them, the teachers retire, the senior teachers retire, those are proficient in the English language while teaching the maths and science, they will be, you know, retiring, and there's a need, a constant need for them to be replaced. So the younger generation that comes in, there must be a concerted approach to ensure that the supply is maintained.
So that was Harry Tan, Secretary General of the National Union for the Teaching Profession, NUTP, and that was because yesterday when we spoke about this, quite a number of people talked about how it's going to come down to teachers as well, right, being able to do this. But we also wanted to hear actually from somebody who is just very directly, intimately involved in this. And so we're crossing over now to Dr. Wan Ardatul Amani Wan Salim, Associate Professor in Biotechnology at IIUM, also former NASA scientist, no big deal. Dr. Amani, thank you so much for joining us. To start us off, could you share your experiences growing up, you know, studying science and maths?
Okay. So I am a product of KBSM, KBSR. I learn science and math in Bahasa. Okay? Now, that's when I was at Sekolah Rendah, and then even at Sekolah Menengah level. Now, when I went to the United States at age 18, is when I realized that if I don't learn English, okay, I cannot communicate and be competent if I were to compete globally. In that time, in the United States, around that, it was 1997, okay, 1997, 1998, and I learned about the importance of that, of learning English, so that I can be proficient and even, you know, knowledgeable in what I've learned during that time, because a lot of the instructions are in English, and to discuss with my fellow colleagues are also in English. So, but that's at the university level.
So the common argument we hear when it comes to PPSMI is Malaysian students getting left behind globally, especially when it comes to science and maths. You've worked both locally and internationally in the science and biotech field. How important is learning these subjects in English in your experience?
Very, very important, actually. When there's questions about this PPSMI and so forth, is that the first is, I think it's important to look at the reality. Okay, put all the things aside. When Tun said put the nationalistic stuff aside and so forth, it's sort of to look at the reality. Okay, what is the reality right now? If we don't have, for example, students, Malaysian students, to be competent, okay, in the science and tech, we can't deny that English and knowing English, especially, you know, when it comes to science and mathematics, is very, very important. So from my experience is that when I was in the United States, even to communicate with the scientists, not only the American scientists, but also scientists from other parts of the world, such as, you know, South Koreans and so forth, is that the only language that can bridge that gap between what I know in terms of my technical competency and my knowledge of the field, that through English. Okay? And that's the reality right now.
So, Dr. Amani, what do you think about Tun M's statement to put aside nationalistic pride in order for this to be implemented in schools effectively? And how much does nationalistic pride play a part in this issue?
I think nationalistic pride, in my opinion, is not only relating to, you know, a language. Okay? Nationalistic pride is becoming world-class in our own technology that we developed, okay? Regardless if we developed it in a language of, if we learn before in English or in Bahasa, right? Nationalistic pride, to me, is more than just that language. So if you have the first world-class, say, a jet fighter, okay, built by Malaysians, okay, that's the pride. That's the pride. That's the nationalistic pride that you should put in all Malaysians. But in terms of language, for me, language is a tool. Okay, to do anything. So if language is a tool, say if you're going to learn, say, a piece of knowledge regarding how to build a chopper, okay, or if you're going to build a car, and then knowing English in reality is necessary to do that, then you use that language. And if Bahasa is sufficient, then you use that language. If you have to use another language, whether it's Mandarin or whether it's Japanese, you learn that language. So for me, the argument that nationalistic pride and to put it aside for the language, you know, for me, it's not just the language that makes someone proud of the country and so forth.
So currently then, do young graduates who, you know, studied these subjects in the Malay language actually have the same opportunities as those who studied them in English? How much does this, you know, issue of language actually matter in the job market?
I keep saying this to my students. First, regardless of how much technical knowledge you have and how competent you are technically, if you can't communicate, okay, whether it's in your speech or in your writing, you're considered, you know, incompetent, and you can't progress. So, looking at the reality, say if you are to work with local companies, with most of them use the Bahasa language, yes, you know, you can use the language to succeed in that type of companies. But the reality, if the companies are to expand globally and to be competitive globally, right? The language that people often use is English. And if the company use Japanese, so you have to be competent in Japanese. And for me, is that if you want to work with these industries, you know, relating to the big global players, companies that are technologically oriented, competency in English is a must. That's from my experience. It might change 10 years from now. Maybe, you know, you have to know Mandarin, or you have to know other language. Therefore, my knowledge of just knowing English is going to be obsolete. So I think we have to take a step back and look at this scenario in Malaysia. Are we serious or not? Put our effort as a country, as Malaysian, to actually be fluent in English, right? To a certain level, perhaps sufficient in Bahasa. But then, if you nowadays, reality is now, is the lingua franca in business and science is this English. So advanced learning and development in the science and math must be in English. Now, saying all this, I'm not saying to put Bahasa at a second place. Okay, science and tech move very fast. I'm in the biochemical, biotech, biomedical field, and I know how fast the field grows, right? If you are to wait for one book to be translated to Bahasa, you know, I will be left behind. Reality is, if I were to be competitive right now, where the literature are mostly in English, in my field, I have no choice. I have to be good in English. But of course, you know, I'm not saying, when I say that, people say, oh, you're saying that, you know, you favor English and not Bahasa. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that reality, that it is important.
Dr. Amani, thank you so much for sharing your perspective with us. That was Dr. Wan Ardatul Amani Wan Salim, Associate Professor in Biotechnology at IIUM, and also former NASA scientist, weighing in on this issue of teaching maths and science in English or BM. We want to know your thoughts. What would you prefer to see and why? Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bombing frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
It is 7:00, let's call it 6 in the evening, and you are with Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman, and we're talking today about teaching maths and science in English. We briefly touched on it yesterday, but then we kind of got carried away by, what were we talking about? I forget now.
I can't quite remember. Yeah,
but we did get carried away is the point. So now we're back to discuss this. And we would like to hear from you. I think yesterday we were asking you, did you learn maths and science in English? Or BM for that matter? And has it actually affected you? What do you think of this move? Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
I do remember. We talked about museums yesterday.
Oh, we did. Of course.
How could we forget?
Yes, no wonder we got carried away. Yes. We were all extremely invested in that. So we've been asking you for your thoughts. And like I said, that number, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Subra is actually weighing in on two things. First up, the issue of Undi 18.
Regarding Undi 18 and automatic registration is a good step forward. Now the government needs to build on the unanimous decision to look into making it better by reducing the gap between constituencies and also perhaps changing the electoral process to something similar to Australia, Canada and Germany.
And on that note about PBSMI, Subra says it's a good thing, but must be done in stages, for example, in urban areas or in schools where there are ample teachers who can teach science and math in English. More teachers need to be trained to teach these subjects in English for the next 2 to 3 years before full implementation. More important is to enhance the standard of English as a subject by having more competent teachers and active campaigns.
Now, I think that idea of kind of rolling it out in different stages is related to this message from Faisal, who says the dual language program teaching maths and science in English is somewhat unfair when it comes to implementation. It gives unequal opportunity to some. Believe it or not, only one government school in the whole of KL has all classes in DLP from standard 1 to 6, and that school is extremely sought after. And guess where it is? Bukit Damansara. Most other schools only have one or two classes with that DLP program. Either have all schools have that equal opportunity for parents to enter their kids into DLP or none at all. Currently, it feels like it's catered to more affluent areas in KL, which is giving an unfair privilege to a very few children. And Faisal, I understand why you would think that. I mean, considering Bukit Damansara.
Yeah, and it's an important part of the conversation too, because it seems that sometimes when we talk about PPSMI, we do speak about it in a vacuum. But there is a need to include how we teach English as a whole, as a subject in schools altogether, while we also talk about the PPSMI, because right now, if English is only a school subject, and kids sometimes aren't necessarily motivated by, say, using it in daily life. They only see it as a subject that they want to pass, an exam they have to ace. So there really isn't motivation, right? If we want to, we have to be able to speak to students and understand what their motivations are to learn English, whether it's to perform or whether it's to sing a song or even just communicate with their friends.
On the line with us now is Mohammed. Mohammed, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Good evening.
Hello. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, I believe it's absolutely necessary, 100%. That science and math should be taught in English, learn and taught in English. Because English is the language of science and technology. That's it. Now we have the internet, so students can look up at YouTube, for example, you know, and learn. So the new paradigm is, students should be taught how to teach themselves, you know?
Mohammed.
Students should be taught to teach themselves, not the teachers giving all the information.
Mohammed, thank you so much for calling. And I think bringing up YouTube is an excellent point, because there are also all sorts of other resources that... provided you have access to the internet, which is another issue that needs to be discussed. But provided you have that, it's true that self-learning is easier now than it used to be.
But accessing information on YouTube will only be effective if you yourself are good in English in the first place. So if you want to do it in just English, I think it requires other complementary measures as well, like improving English education and inculcating in daily life.
Well, I was actually thinking of YouTube being a good medium to learn English. I mean, because you're actually absorbing things through entertainment as well, right? I'm not saying everybody has to go on YouTube for the purposes of instructional videos and, you know, just TED Talks all the time. But you can obviously pick up a lot of language, you know, just by watching people do things that you're interested in.
Yeah, and though to that point, though, there is a need for, and there is a lot of use in being able to, in being competent in the language and then learning science and math in that language, right? So let's say we take the word resistance, for example, and we are talking about more technical terms specific to certain disciplines, like, say, physics. Resistance in daily life means something else, but in the language of physics, it also means something else entirely. So the value in being competent in that language is that, you know, even for students learning science who are competent in English, they may struggle too with learning unfamiliar science terms.
Sure. And that's, I suppose, where this tweet from Ibrahim comes in, saying, in order to be able to teach maths and science in English better, we must first be able to teach English better. Teachers need to have the skills to excite their students to learn the language instead of being scared of it. Failure to do so will hamper their learning efforts, which I think is what you were saying earlier, Kelvin.
Yeah, that's correct. So we have to be able to figure out what will motivate students to be able to be interested in learning English, because otherwise it's really just a second language that they don't end up using.
But for languages, it's not just about learning though, it's also about practicing. So I think parents play a role as well, where even at home, you need to encourage your kids to speak English, and that should also make them more interested in learning and improving as well in communicating and understanding and reading in the language.
And also, I suppose, just exposing your children potentially to English media if you yourself are perhaps, you know, not so sure about your proficiency in English, because I think that is a very real concern as well, right? Like, you might have situations in which it's not as if it's simply that the language spoken at home is completely different to the language spoken at school. We see this all the time, and it's not just exclusive to the Malay language. It happens with all others as well. So I think while it would be nice and ideal for that to be the case, I wonder if we are relying too heavily on the proficiency of parents, right? When there are, as Muhammad said, other resources, and you just have to be open to those resources as well.
Well, I mean, it's not just the parents, like, 'cause it's... language, the mastery of language is also about you practicing it and communicating with people. So if not parents, then the friends that you mix with, yeah, or your cousins or relatives, or just people you meet as well. And that will really help in the mastery of English and, by extension, science and maths as well, if it's taught in English.
But there is something to be said there, though. I mean, there is that struggle sometimes. And Tunen brought up nationalistic pride, but there's also cultural pride. It's probably quite common in many communities here where, oh, you're speaking English, wow, so hoity-toity, right? So how do we get past that as well? And that comes through in among your friends, among your peers, but sometimes, strangely, also among your parents.
So we have Victor on the line. Victor, good evening. What are you thinking about?
Good evening, Lin, Kelvin, and Ayman.
Hello.
I'm in favor of PPSMI wholeheartedly, because I trust Tun's judgment. Tun was instrumental in this changing the medium of teaching in the secondary school from English to this Bahasa. Well, before he even become our Prime Minister first time around. So then later he introduced this PPSMI just before he stepped down, then which was undone when he was not in power. Now that he want to reintroduce PPSMI, so he must have felt very strongly about this issue. So I'm supportive of him, and I think the point is sort of everybody missed the point. I think the point is not about the importance of English. The point is about not teaching these mathematics and science in Bahasa. Malcolm Gladwell, in his book, These Outliers, he mentioned that we humans, we process numbers in only 2 seconds loop. More than 2 seconds, we can't memorize the number. And Bahasa, because of the long syllable in all the figures, it make it not very suitable to learn mathematics. So maybe we should check with Tun. Is that his concern? Leaving aside this pride of the language and all that, I think efficiency counts.
Victor, thanks for your call. I don't know if we'll ever get the opportunity to interview Tun M. If we do, we can ask him about Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah.
And we'll see from there. Keep your thoughts coming. We're talking today about shifting the language of instruction for maths and science. You can call us with your thoughts, 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
It is 7:17. Good evening. You're listening to Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman. We're talking about teaching maths and science in English. Is this a good idea? Is this something that you did? Have you found it helpful? Just all the questions that we're peppering you with. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, we have this message from KW, who says, we should stop comparing ourselves with the Japanese, Korean, German, French and the like for sticking to their own native languages. We have to admit that we're not as innovative as them, or else we would have achieved developed country status a long time ago. These were World War II war-torn countries, raised up quickly to become developed nations in a short span of a few decades. advocates, willpower, passion, and self-reliance are qualities that we do not have naturally. I don't know about that. Our closest cousin Singapore knows it. Also don't know about that. This is why Singapore adopts English as its national language, along with other ethnic languages. We don't see Singaporeans insisting on speaking Hokkien in official meetings. English is one of the reasons they've become what they are today.
I'm not sure I necessarily agree with quite a number of the points there, partially because I think we're not necessarily innovative. We're not talented. I think we are. We have so much potential. It's just for a long time, there is a lot of mismanagement that's been done. There is a lot of poor governance that's also been done. And unfortunately, our education system has also been a victim of politicization.
We also have this message here from Stephen. Definitely something we want to see. There's a simple reason why there's so many private and international schools in Malaysia, and it's because parents want syllabus taught in English.
Yeah, I mean, there is a shift towards English, especially among maybe communities that we feel are more urbanized or more modernized. But we also have to think about other people in the country as well who maybe do not have the same kind of skills in English or access to the same kind of education as other people. So that's something that I have to consider when deciding on whether to do science and maths in English or Bahasa Malaysia or both.
You're sharing those thoughts with quite a few listeners, actually, who are saying that we need to be mindful of not leaving people behind. And I think that has always been a big struggle when it comes to this notion that will we be able to have that equal access? Will we be able to make sure that everyone can learn properly? And I don't know. Right now, nobody has come up with a solution that suggests that we're edging closer towards actually finding a solution to this. On the line with us now is Hashim. Hashim, good evening. What are your thoughts? Hashim, are you there?
Yes, good evening.
Hi.
Hi. My thoughts on this is that a fundamental issue has been missed. The English language is not a compulsory subject at this point in time. And I think whatever effort is put in to improve the level of the English language here will not work effectively until and unless the subject is made a compulsory subject.
Hashim, thank you so much. And I think that speaks again to that question of the quality and level of English in the first place.
And, well, whether they pass the exam or not isn't necessarily a reflection of complete comprehension, right? We are, unfortunately, experts at rote learning. So we memorize a lot of our essays. We memorize a lot of answers that we can then eventually use in our examination papers. So it might, I think it is a good idea, but we also need to be able to make sure that kids are able to find some other ways to use English in their daily lives.
We also have Mark on the line. Mark, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hey, how are you?
Well, thank you. How are you?
Not bad. Couple of thoughts. The first one was expressed by the other presenter earlier. I had staff who are very good in English, quite young, and they said that, you know, when they were in school, the friends who are not good in English always make fun of them. So I think one of the things we need to do is address that, you know, that English is something to be proud of, you know, the proficiency, and not something to be made fun of. So, I mean, some of the younger generation, you know, they feel that they don't want to speak English because, you know, they're going to be made fun of. The second thing is that I grew up with Bahasa in school. So particularly when it comes to the more technical matters and even in mathematics, when we went to university, we had a hard time because everything was in English. It was a whole relearning process, especially when we start reading technical papers and so on. So we have to see, relearn what is this in English and what is this in Bahasa that I learned. So it was really difficult. I definitely agree that English should be taught in science and mathematics. It makes more competent professionals going forward.
Mark, thanks so much for sharing that thought. So I think that there's a lot of value there, right? I think in trying to understand how it affects people in their working space? Because after school, after you've learned everything, I think we talked about this yesterday also, but just the upgrading, the fact that, you know, the upskilling, the continued learning, those are things that you need to also have the language to work in.
Yeah, it's like having to learn it twice when you shift to a different language, when you learn it in a higher level of education.
Yeah, and there is that point earlier that Mark brought up about being made fun of for not being able to speak English well. There is that consistent challenge where, you know, it's like we're not celebrating the fact that someone is attempting to speak another language, be it in Bahasa, be it in English or Mandarin. Up next, we have Chua on the line. Chua, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I want to say a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
The first is, actually, we are missing the point of learning English. What Toon mentioned is actually, by learning English, you will improve our knowledge, you know? So the most important thing is most knowledge of math and science and technology is all in what you call English. If you just know Bahasa, how do you then improve yourself? I give you an example. You see, a lot of Indians have become CEOs of Microsoft and all that. You know, they have gone to America because of English. A lot of Chinese from China have gone to U.S. to learn English. So, I mean, these are great civilizations, China, India, but they don't mind learning English, you know. So that's one point. So to get knowledge, we have to learn English. The other point is, I come from a family, we speak Chinese at home. You know, so you don't really need to have to speak English in your house to actually learn English. Because there are so many other, what you call, sources and what you call resources that you can actually learn from. That's all. Thank you.
Chua, thank you so much for your thoughts. And I guess what he was reiterating there was that, well, English, just view it as a skill. It's always beneficial to be bilingual, and we do celebrate that as a country.
Yes, and on that note about family, right, and the importance of practicing English, I do think that it helps. It absolutely helps when you have those avenues to communicate in English. But if it is the only way, then we are doomed. You know, if it is the only avenue, then it's all over. So I think it does very much just the level of instruction in and learning. We're coming back to that. Are you learning English well in school in the first place?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it that does matter.
And we also have another caller on the line. Candy, good evening. What do you have to say about this story?
Hi, good evening. Yeah, I think math and science should be taught in English, but not because we want to improve English. Mostly because math and many good books are written for math and science are written in English as well. And also, logically, when we learn math and science, we are using it later after when you go to university and also when they come out to work. English is an international language. So we basically need to communicate a lot of scientific terms or mathematical terms in English. So I think it would be very good if we actually teach math and science in English itself only, rather than having dual languages going on. Because I think when we let teachers or parents or schools to choose whether they want to teach math and science in Mandarin or in English, like what is currently have available now, the schools are printing books in two languages. Many still using the national language or Chinese to actually teach. So it doesn't actually encourage the schools to use English to teach math and science. So I think we should not link learning math and science in English towards learning English. If we really want to improve English proficiency, then we should look into how to improve English in the English context, not really linking that proficiency, applying it into teaching science and math in English.
Candy, thank you so much for your thoughts.
And I think we also, on that note, have a message here from Mike saying, pushing a community to master a particular language will not work if they're not willing. We should focus on the ability and the openness to master languages. And I think a lot of people have been saying, missing the point. The phrase has come up a lot. And I think that's because there are multiple points that this issue is just really huge. But part of this is that point that Mike is raising, this idea of having that openness on mastering languages. Because it does get politicized and it does get lost amidst, you know, all the conversations about things like nationalistic pride. But since when was learning language a bad thing?
Yeah, and that's just reflected in what so many of our listeners have said, that people get made fun of for speaking English or having an accent, and we need to move past that. And if we want to be good at English, we have to support each other, because being bilingual is awesome.
So on that note, thank you everybody for sending in those messages. Sorry that we didn't get time to get to them. The 7:30 news is coming your way. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.